is what we are doing. So P is attached to P theta is a maximal parabolic subgroups. Maximal parabolic subgroup. So you can think of theta is delta minus alpha. So subset by deleting one simple root. And pi, so it's first we do local. So local. So pi is the generic irreducible representation of MS. So let's first do local. Okay. And so we prove that if pi is generic, then the induced representation is also generic. So we proved last time. Time that the induced representation I S pi is also generic. And also we gave explicit Virchow function. We can define Virchow functional explicitly in terms of Virchow function of pi. Okay. So especially if pi is spherical or principal series, then we can write down explicit. If pi is spherical, let's say pi is contained in this principal series, I chi, then this induced representation will be contained in this induced representation space. I S alpha tilde chi, okay, by inducing in stages. So this was induced from Borel subgroups, chi tensor with the exponential S alpha tilde HB. So that's by inducing in stages. Okay. So in this case, you can define the Virchow function explicitly. So in this case, the Virchow function so let's denote W F naught. So F, let's say F naught is the spherical vector. Let's say spherical vector in here. Okay, so it's a k fixed vector. So then we can get explicit form. So we have explicit definition, I mean the form of this Virchow function. This will be given by integral over U. U is the maximal unipotent subgroup. So UF psi u bar f naught w l inverse u g d u. Here w l is the longest phi group element. Okay, so and last time I claimed that we can calculate this integral easily, but I couldn't justify in a week. So you have to give me some more time. Okay. So for the time being, I will just quote Kesselmann-Schleicher's result. I will just write down the result. Okay. I think there should be a way to calculate easily, but anyway. Okay, so now goal is to reduce this thing. We express this thing in terms of Virchow function of pi. Okay, so let's change this integral a little bit. So you can write U as, so now we define another parabolic subgroup, namely P prime. P prime is P W naught theta. So remember that W naught is a Weyl group element, which is in delta, but W naught alpha is negative. So it's a canonical element. And if P is self-conjugate, then this is just P itself. So this is P. This will be just the theta if P is a self-conjugate, so which is the case most of the time. Okay, so let's write this as M prime, N prime. So you can write U as a product of N prime times U M prime. Here U M prime is M prime intersection with U. So it's a unipotent radical of M prime. Okay? So you can write it as a product, the direct product. So then you can write this as a, you can, and also you can decompose the longest Weyl element, so WL, you can write as a W naught times WL theta. Here WL theta is the longest Weyl group element. Element in W theta. So this is a subgroup of Weyl group which is spanned by the simple reflection in theta. Okay? So you can decompose WL in this way. Okay, so then you can write this as a double integral. And so you write this, so this becomes, so let's just calculate E at the identity. So identity will be integral, so you decompose it as a double integral, so it's N prime. And so you can write, so U, you can write as U as N, so N U. So U becomes N U, you substitute it. So then you get psi N bar U M prime F psi U bar F W L theta inverse W naught inverse N U D U D N. Okay, so you get this. So now let's manipulate this thing. So you can write this as W naught N U. You can write this as a W naught U W naught W naught inverse N U. Okay, so this thing, so W naught inverse U W naught, this belongs to U M F if U belongs to U M prime F. So if U belongs to this element, then this thing belongs to U M. It comes to back, comes back. Okay. So by changing a variable, so change a variable, so N goes to U, N U inverse. So we are not change variable here. So if you change the variable, so it doesn't change. So it goes to M, M prime to M prime. So then this integral becomes N prime psi N bar W pi V pi W naught inverse N dN, where W pi G is integral over U M F psi U F naught W L theta inverse U G D U. So this whole thing, this inside integral is basically the Weyl function. of pi. Okay, so let me write down this way. So this is W F naught E. Okay, so this is the relationship between a Virchow function of spherical vector and Virchow function of pi. Okay? So this will, I'll use that. This relationship, I'll use that later. So this is the local result. Okay, so now we use the following Kesselmann-Schleicher result. So Kesselmann-Schleicher showed that, so they calculated this integral. So they calculate, so it showed that WF E is the product over all positive roots, 1 plus S alpha tilde beta chi beta check inverse, and W pi E, so this one, this thing, I mean, this is basically the same type of integral. Basically, this will be for M and this will be for G. Okay, so this will be product over theta plus inverse. Okay. So this is the basically positive roots spanned by theta. Okay, so but in this case, if beta is positive roots spanned by theta, then this is zero. So this is zero in this case. So this is a constant. This is a constant. And it's not zero by Kesselmann-Schleicher. Prove that that's not zero. So that means that we can pick the spherical vector. We can rescale it so that this can be one. So we take. The Virchow function is not vanishing. No, this is local. It's a Virchow function such that W pi E is 1. Okay, so then we have the following. Okay, so if you plug in there, so you can get rid of the part, so we have the following formula. So then we have the following formula. So this will be the product over beta is in okay, you have the formula, and if you go back and look at the constant term calculation, this is exactly the denominator of the constant term. So you can write this as I equals 1 through M, L 1 plus IS, pi RI inverse. So this is the, we'll use. So the Virchow function is exactly the denominator. Because this is a constant, so then if you multiply some constant to F naught, you can make it one. So it's basically rescaling. So this we get the denominator. Okay. So now let's look at the global. So section 9.2 is a non-constant term of Eisenstein series. So now we look at the global calculation. So psi m is the any generic character of UMF UMA. And the psi is the generic character of UF UA, such that if you restrict to UM A, so this becomes a psi M. So you just take any character which extends psi M. Okay? And now we take a pi to be psi M globally generic. So globally generic cuspidal representation. I am generic cuspidal representations of M A. So we take globally generic cuspidal representation. So on that data, now we can define Eisenstein series. So Eisenstein series E, so for FS in I S pi, for global intertwining operators, we can define the Eisenstein series . So this was the Eisenstein series. Okay, now we can now calculate non-constant term. So we can define non-constant term. So let me denote by E psi S pi Fs G. So this is integral along over UM UA E S pi Fs UG psi U bar du. So basically integral over that set. And remember that this is a compact, so domain of integration is very nice. Okay, so this is called psi Fourier coefficients. Fourier coefficients. Or non-constant term. The reason we say it's Fourier coefficients, I'll show in a minute, that this is basically generalization of ordinary Fourier coefficients in modular form. I will give a very specific example later. Okay, so now our goal is to calculate this integral. Okay, so that's the proposition. So proposition is, now suppose Fs is a pure tensor, so it can be decomposed as a product of local thing. And strictly speaking, we have to put S here, so I'm not, so I'll just skip that. So here, Fv is Fv naught, where it's spherical for V naught in S. Where S is a finite set of finite places, a finite set of places, including Archimedean places, such that pi V, psi V, are all unramified for V naught in S. And FV naught is spherical. Spherical vector. So spherical vector such which satisfies the following that property. Spherical vector such that pi V E is 1. So in that case, then this Fourier coefficients is basically the product of that Weyrecker function. This is the product of this Weyrecker function. Because we can define this Virekha function not only for unified places, but for arbitrary places. And now we know explicit calculation here. We know for spherical representation, we have explicit calculation. So you can write this as I equals 1 through m, the partial L function. So we have product over S, so finitely many places. Let's evaluate at E, S pi Fs E. So we evaluate E, then E, and then the denominator we have 1 plus Is pi V R. So we have that formula. So this formula we'll use a lot. It's LSS pi RI is the partial L function, so V not in S. LS pi V R. So this is to follow immediately from this formula. So all you have to do is prove that equality there. This is a product of Virekha functions. Okay, so before giving proof, we get immediate corollary. Corollary is you get non-vanishing of this L function at real S equals 1. So the corollary is that this is non-vanishing. Has no zero for real S equals 0. So at the unitary axis, this has no zero. Full L function, but okay, for the time being, let's say, because we haven't defined the local factors yet, so if full L function is true, because the local L function does not have a zero. Local L function is always one over some polynomial, so it has never zero. But we haven't defined the local factors. This is what I'm going to do after this section. Okay, so special case. The special case is the Rankine-Cellberg L function. Pi S pi 1 cross pi 2 has no zero for real part of S equals 1. Okay, here pi 1, pi 2, cuspid representations of GLK and GLL. Okay. And this one follows immediately from this relationship, because by noting that the Eisenstein series has no, okay, so proof is very simple, that the Eisenstein series, we didn't prove, but I mentioned it, that has no, it's holomorphic for real S equals 0. The Eisenstein series is holomorphic at the unitary axis. And we can pick FV so that this is not 0. So we can pick, we can choose FV such that the Virekha function is not 0 at the unitary axis. Given S, okay, given S. Okay, so it says no zero, and so that's what, so that implies that this denominator has no zero. Okay, and the second, so this special case, we apply this machinery to this case, so GLK cross GLL. Inside GL K plus L. Okay. And so if you put the pi 1 and pi 2. If you apply this machinery, so the Eisenstein series, so then you get only one L function on the denominator, namely this Rankine-Cyborg L function on the denominator. You get only one L function. So if you have only one L function, then clearly this implies that. So if there are several L functions, then we have to worry about whether that L function is holomorphic at S equals 1. So this is a complicated issue. So if you have one L function, then this is immediate consequence. Pi 1, pi 2 are cuspid representation.
Okay. And then you're taking pi 1 plus pi 2, and how you apply it?
So if you apply pi 1 tensor to pi 2 tilde, actually, you know, to get this. So this is a cusp form, cuspid representation of that, GLK cross GLL. So that's the Levy in our case. Okay. So if you apply the if you form Eisenstein series, you get only one L function on the denominator. This, you get only one L function. Okay, so now I'll prove this equality. So this is proof is similar to the constant term calculation. So you can use broad decomposition. Okay, so the proof. Okay, so we apply this Brouhaha decomposition. So let me just write, let me remind you what Brouhaha decomposition is. PF, W inverse, P prime F. So P prime, I just erased what P prime is. So P prime was P W naught theta. Okay. So this W moves the double coset, W theta, W naught theta. Okay, so if P is self-conjugate, then it's simpler. So, but anyway, let's do it in general. Okay. So we denote it by W theta and W naught theta is the canonical representative. So this is the coset representative, canonical the representative of that double coset. Okay. So if you apply this Brouhaha decomposition to our integral, so let me write down. So anyway, I'm not going to go through the details. So anyway, I'm going to put that in my notes. So I'll just point out main steps. Okay. So this. So this is summation over this W theta. And summation and also we pointed out that PF divided by PF W inverse P prime F, this is isomorphic to M prime F divided by W and W inverse intersection with M prime. Okay? So we use that also relationship. So if you have to mod by PF, okay? So that's the summation in the Eisenstein series. So we have to mod by PF. So that means that we have to mod by PF on from the left side. And then you get this summation. So this is summation of M prime that, so W and W inverse intersection M prime, M prime, and integral, so we put the integral inside, so UF UA FS W inverse N prime U G Psi U D U. Okay, so that's the integral we have to calculate. Okay, so in order to calculate this integral, we again the same, we apply the same idea. So we divide U into two parts. So M prime times U M prime. So we divide into, we again divide into double integral. Okay. So if you, so then that is equal to W is theta W naught theta, and the summation of N prime W N W inverse N prime N prime and integral over U M prime F U M prime A integral of M prime A psi N double prime U bar FS W inverse N prime N double prime U G D N prime D U. Okay? Alright, so this is complicated. But what I'm trying to, now I'm gonna put this sum and this integral together. I mean, there is no problem with the convergence because we are calculating over compact set. So it's a convergence, is no problem. Okay. So we can put this together. So this sum and this integral we put together. Okay, so I just want to show you what goes on in this calculation. The integral UM psi U bar, let me denote this N1, okay, N1, so I don't want to write over and over again, so N1 F and N prime A psi N bar FS W inverse NU G D N D. Okay, so that's the integral we have to calculate. Anyway, in the literature, you don't see this calculation anyway. I think I tried to find anyway, but I had to come up with this calculation myself. Shahidi did that, but I couldn't find it in his paper. Anyway, so. Oh, that's the Shahidi's reason. Okay. Anyway, he didn't write down fully, so I. Okay. Oh, I see. This is very general. Yeah. Okay. I mean, you can get from Shahid's, what I'm saying is that the calculation I'm doing, you can get it out of Shahid's paper, but you have to do some work. That's what I'm saying. So yeah, I've done hard work, and you are just watching it. And so, okay. So, all right. So now we have to show that everything is zero except W is W naught, basically. Okay. Everything is zero. So now the claim is that this integral is zero. Only W equal W naught survives. So this has lots of terms. Okay, so here is how it goes. So if W inverse N prime, W intersection N is not 1. Okay, so if that is not 1, so that's the case. That is the case except W is, so this is the case. So this is the case for W is not either 1 or W naught. Okay. So if W is not either 1 or W naught, then this is non-trivial. Okay. And of course, you have to verify that. But you can see that W inverse intersection with N prime. Okay, so I'm just conjugate this everything by W. This is a product. It's a product of unipotent groups. Attached to non-simple positive roots. So you have to verify that. Okay, the reason is that you see here, remember the definition of generic character. Psi u is a generic character. Generic character takes value only on simple roots. Okay? So remember that u mod u is a product of one-dimensional unipotent group over simple roots. Okay? So psi is trivial on non-simple positive roots. On the okay? So it's a product. So that means that so if N is WM, W inverse N prime A, then psi N is trivial. So on this set, this is trivial. So this is trivial. So you can take it out. So by the cuspidality, so this one I did with the a constant term calculation by cuspidality of pi. This integral. This is zero. So this is similar to the constant term. It's actually same calculation as constant term. So what I'm saying is that if n, in this case, this thing come out, okay? So this thing come out, and so if this trivial, integral over this set is basically the integral over the unipotent radical of m. That integral is zero by cuspidality. Okay. So this is very similar to what I did, so I will skip this. So basically what I'm saying is this is whole thing is zero, and so this is everything vanishes except except these two elements, one and W naught. Okay, anyway, I put enough details, I hope, in my notes so you can look at it. Okay, now if W is 1, if W is 1, if W is 1, it's trivial, in that case, what do we have? In this case, we'll have integral. If W is 1, you see here, then Fs, this is trivial here. Because Fs is invariant on the left by n. So this thing will come out because if W is 1. So then we'll have the following integral. Integral over psi u du. So we'll have the following integral on that side, and that's 0 because of, since psi is non-trivial. So W equals 1 also contributes to 0. Okay. So the only thing contributes is the one element. W is W naught. So in this case, W is W naught, then this N1 is 0. N1 is just trivial. So this is sum over, so let me just make a remark. So,
what happened to the U in the integral?
Here?
No, on the top.
On the top?
What happened to U?
Because WS is invariant. On the, so you see, this belongs to N, F, N, A, M, F, G, A. This is, it belongs to that space, so it's invariant on the N. N, M, F, you see, U belongs to, what is it? The unipotent radical. Okay, wait a second. Okay, wait a second, let me see. Okay, wait a second, let me see. Okay, W is 1.
Why can't you do what you with decompose
over n? Oh, okay. I think that's what you have to do. I have to do that.
Custodiality?
Not custodiality, but I think I have to decompose this way. Okay, so if this F is 1, so then this this Fs will come out of this, okay, in this integral.
Yeah,
okay, so then that integral is, this integral is over n prime dn prime. So n prime is, okay, I think I did something. Okay, so that's what you have to do. So Fs is invariant on the NA. Okay. Okay, so let me do it this way. So integral over. Okay, so that's FS. There is no M prime there. There is no M prime there. So it will be UG psi U for DU. So we are going to conclude that this is zero. Because if W is 1, okay? Okay, so we are not conclude that this is 0. So I think we have to use the, again, same trick, divide into two integrals. So you get, write down N as a N times UM. So then this is UM F. UMA NF NA and FS. So you divide into N U prime G psi N U prime D N D U. All right. So now FS invariant on the N. So N disappears here. Okay? So then this thing come out here. So we'll have FS UG. So we have this integral. And the psi can be right, it is a multiplicative. So you can write as a psi N and psi U prime come out. So we have that integral, and that integral is zero because psi is non-trivial on Okay, so, all right, so we have to do it this way. Okay, so now if W is W naught, okay, we are almost done. So if W is W naught, okay, so then that integral E psi S pi FS G is equal to, okay, so if W is W naught, then this is trivial. Okay, so then you can put this together. So this will be N prime F. Okay, and so you can put this together. So the resulting, okay, let me. So we have the following integral. So NF, N prime A. So we put this together, this sum and this integral together, so that we have this integral on the inside. Okay? So we have integral of UM F U M prime A psi N bar F S W naught inverse N U G psi U bar D U D N. So we have that integral. Yeah, that's right. Okay, so this is the final result. Anyway, this is exactly the same as local calculation. This inside integral is exactly the Weyl-Yerkes function for pi. Okay, I mean, so this is same as this local. I mean, so that's why I didn't erase this. Okay. So I'll leave that as an exercise, or you can look at the notes. So this is exactly W pi W naught inverse and G. Here, so W pi is G is integral of UM F U M A F S U G Psi U Bar D U. Okay, so this is inside integral. So remember again, we have to use the fact that W naught inverse U W naught is U M if U belongs to U M prime. Okay, so that's why we have this, we have to write this as some, to use this notation anyway. So anyway, so we have the following formula. So this psi S pi Fs G is integral of N prime A psi N W pi W naught inverse N G dN. Okay, so we have the following, we have that formula there. And we studied earlier, we can write this global Whittaker function as a product of local ones. Okay? So if Fs is a pure tensor, then you can write this as a the product of local ones. Okay, so since this is a, again, we write down as a product of local ones, so we have the following. This will be the product over N prime FV psi of V and W pi V W naught inverse N G dN. Okay, and so as we studied, that's why I didn't erase this formula. So I didn't erase this formula. You can, if you look at this formula, this is exactly, this integral is exactly the local Whittaker function. So this is exactly W F V G. Okay, so that's, I proved, okay, I proved this. I erased it, but anyway, I proved that. Any questions so far? Okay, so in the next two examples, I will show you that this is actually just the Fourier coefficients in the classical case. So I will show you that this is just the Fourier coefficients. So in order to do that, let's take F to be just the rational numbers. And now we take a psi, the additive character, the canonical one. So what is the canonical additive character? So we have an additive, canonical additive character, psi naught p. So it's a canonical additive character. So this you can find in Tate's thesis or in many places. So this is defined to be psi infinity is e to the minus 2 pi ix, x in r, and at the finite places, it's defined to be e to the 2 pi ir, where r is in q, and x minus r belongs to zp. And such R is uniquely determined. Uniquely determined by up to Q mod Z. equals determinant of to z. Okay, so this has a property that so psi 0 p has a property that it has conductor. Its conductor is Zp for all p. So basically, this is trivial on Zp, but psi p, p is not trivial. It's not one. It's not trivial. Okay? All right, so with this choice, so we can now calculate something. Okay, so all other characters, are of the form, all other additive characters. Characters are of the form psi A, where A is in Q. So psi A X is psi A X. So you can verify easily that fact is, you can verify easily that so you can verify that easily, the integral of psi 0 p r x p dx p, you can verify, this is clear from this property, conductor property. This is 1 if R is Z, 0 otherwise, if R doesn't belong to Z. Okay. So in order that this is 1, R has to be, R has to belong to all ZP for all P. So that means that R is integer. Okay. Okay, so the what is the fundamental domain? So fundamental domain for Q mod A mod Q. So A is the ring of Adels, is R mod Z plus Z hat. Here Z hat is the product of Zp for all p. Okay. So let's say f has a Fourier expansion. If f is a function, it's a function on R mod Z with a Fourier series. Series expansion f of x is n z a n e to the 2 pi I n x. Okay. So then we can think of f as a function on A mod Q, which is the right Z hat invariant. Okay, so we can switch to this function on this other space. So if R is Q, so then the integral is basically integral over R mod Z fx infinity e to the 2 pi I R x infinity dx infinity, and the product over Zp dxp. Okay? So that means that according to our observation, this is zero. This is zero if r is not gp, it's not integer. And if r is integer, if r is integer, then this is exactly the an, okay, ar. Okay, so then this integral is ar. This whole thing is ar. That's the Fourier coefficient. Okay. So now we apply this observation to modular forms. So example. So we look at this modular form. Z is x plus iy. And so if you saw in Jim Cocker's lecture that we can attach a phi f, a function on the group. So this is the automorphic form. Automorphic form. And automorphic form, this is a right K invariant. K is the product of the compact set, is invariant. Automorphic form on GL2. GL2A. Okay, so you can look at the automorphic form. Okay? And you can see that the U sending, I think Jim Cocker did this. I think if you look at the note, you'll see. This is a periodic, so this is invariant. It's invariant. Under A mod Q. This is a function on, this is a function on so this is invariant under this is a function on A mod Q. Okay? So we have this Fourier expansion. So we have this Fourier expansion. 1 U G. This is so this is the Fourier expansion Jim Cocker's lecture. So look at Jim Cocker's lecture. Oh, yeah, I mean, I'm assuming that this is the automorphic form on, modular form on SL2 with respect to the full modular group. Here, W is the Weaker function. Since the Weaker function, you are probably, you've seen this integral before. So what is it? I mean, so psi f g is the summation of all rational numbers. Okay, so if you plug in u equals 0, okay, so then you have this Fourier expansion. Okay, so now we have to reconcile ourselves. In this case, this is the summation over z. And here, this is the summation over all rational numbers. So what's going on here? So we have to show that if r is not an integer, it is all zero. So we can show that. So we can compute. So compute W Z for G is this element. Y 1/2. So if you look at this element, so then this thing G is a function on A mod Q, which is invariant under Z hat. Okay, so we look at this calculation here. So you plug in, you put the phi f here. So we put phi f instead of f. And that's exactly the Weierstrass function. You just put, instead of fx, you put this function. Okay, so that's the Weierstrass function. So we already show that this is zero if r is not, you know, an integer. So by above the observation, by this observation, so that will show that WCF R is zero if R is not an integer. And if R is an integer, WFR G is, if you calculate it, you get Archimedean integral. You get this Archimedean integral. So you get, what you get is, you get AR e to the 2 pi IZ. So in this case, the Weierstrass function is, so basically AR. So we retrieved the non-constant term. That's the non-constant term. Okay, if it is level, then this is, you have to replace this by smaller compact set. So then, this thing will not be, so we'll have, this will be zero for smaller, subgroup here. We'll have a level here. Okay, let's move on. Okay. All right. So, okay, now let's look at the Eisenstein series now. Let's look at the Eisenstein series, the classical Eisenstein series, and let's see if this Weierstrass function is basically the non-constant term. So let's look at another example. We look at this, this Eisenstein series. Remember this Eisenstein series? I define this. This is a y s half cz plus d to the s cd that Eisenstein series. Okay, so it's the Ramm of this lecture. Okay, so in this case, we have, so again, we have the following Fourier expansion. Here, CR this is exactly a non-constant term. We defined the e psi. This is exactly e psi. Okay. So this is E S 1 1 U G psi 0 minus R U D. Okay. So that's exactly the non-constant term we define. And so if R is 0, then you get the constant term. Okay? And so now we will not calculate when R is not 0. Okay? So if R is not 0, then we, by Brouwer decomposition, so we have to use this Brouwer decomposition. I mean, in the exact same way. So, by Brouwer decomposition, this is integral over A, F, W naught inverse 1 U, G, Psi 0, minus R U, DU. Here F G is the exponential of S alpha tilde plus rho P, HP G. So I mean, we interpret this as a Eisenstein series for GL2 F gamma G. Okay. I'm just gonna. I have 15 minutes. Okay, I'll have to skip this. Okay, so I have. Because I have to. I wanna finish with the functional equation. I have only 15 minutes. Okay, so, okay, I'll put in my note. You can read the note. I'm sorry. Okay, I should not have started this. But anyway, the point is that so this is exactly what we have here. So product of local Whittaker function. So this is basically, okay, so let me write down main point here. So main point is, so you can write this as a product of local Whittaker function, just like we did here, just like for in general case, all right? So the local ones, so at infinite place, this is the integral over R, y s plus 1, x plus u infinity, square plus y square, so this is the infinite place and the finite place. Okay, so this is the finite place. And you can see easily, I mean, that you can show that this is exactly the integral Ramamurthy lecture described here. It's basically K Bessel function. And the finite place, and this, you can show that this is zero if R is, doesn't belong to ZP. Okay, where am I? Okay, so okay, we can show that this is zero, and if R is P to the L U, here L is non-negative, and U is the units, and you just calculate just the brute by brute force. Okay, by brute force, then you can see that this is 1 minus p to the minus s minus 1, 1 plus p minus s l. So if L is 0, then you get just the local L function, inverse of local L function. But you have the remaining term here. Okay. So if you take a product, if you multiply all this, I mean given integer, you have only finite remaining product. So if R can be written as a P1, K1, PJ, KJ, so then only finitely many terms will have this term. So what happens is that this is a zeta S plus 1 product of I equals 1 through J. Ki, and this is exactly the divisor sum function. So this is zeta s plus 1 d to the negative s. And if you remember the Fourier coefficients of Eisenstein series in the Ramuti lecture, this is what you saw. Okay? All right. Alright, I'll just leave you to calculate yourself or look at my note. I'll put it in the internet soon. Alright, so let me just do it quickly about section 9.3, local coefficients and functional equation. A crude functional equation. Okay, so this is the Scheide's definition. So let's look at the, let's do it in, okay, so we'll just do it as a special case today. So let's look at the this induced representation. So now F is locally, local. So it's an induced representation. And now we have this intertwining operator, W naught. So this is the intertwining operator going from okay, so let's look at lambda psi s pi be the Weyukar functional. Weyukar functional on I S pi and lambda psi minus S W naught pi to be the Weyukar functional on I minus S W naught pi. Okay. So if you look at W naught pi and if you take a composition of this one and an intertwining operator, A, S, pi, W naught. Okay? If you take a composition, this is a Weyukar functional. This is a Weyukar functional. Functional on I, S, pi. Because you're just taking a composition here. Yeah. So this will be C, this will be lambda psi minus S W naught pi. You just take a composition, then this is a Weyukar functional. So now we use the uniqueness of Weyukar functional. So uniqueness. So by the uniqueness of Weyukar functional, so Weyukar functionals are unique up to scalar. Okay, so this has to be a scalar multiple of that one. So lambda psi s pi, this is lambda psi minus psi minus s w naught pi a s pi w naught. So we have to have some scalar. So that will depend on s and pi. So that will be the complex function. So we denote Scheidel's notation is will depend on c psi s pi w naught. So we get this complex function. Okay, so this is called C psi S pi W naught is called local coefficients. Okay, so this will play a very important role. So later on, by analyzing this, we define a gamma function first. So basically, this will be the product of gamma functions. So this will be basically product of gamma, I S pi R I. So if you have only one L function, this is a gamma factor. Okay? So using this, we'll define this gamma factor inductively. Okay? And once you define gamma factor, then you can define local L factor from gamma factor easily. And now we can derive the functional equation from this formula. So in terms of Weaker functions, okay, remember that the Weaker function is just to evaluate by one. So I mean so this is basically you evaluate Weaker function f at e. So if you evaluate at identity, so then you get you have the following formula here. So this is the Weaker so basically just choose any function in this induced representation space, okay, and then you just evaluate it at identity. So that's the local coefficient. Okay, so this is the relationship. Okay, so the following is the theorem. So this is a crude functional equation. So we have the following functional equation. Okay, so we have the so it's not precise because we don't have local factors at the ramified places. So that's what I'm going to do next time. Okay. But anyway, this will be the basis for everything follows later. So the proof is basically very simple. It just follows from functional equation of Eisenstein series. So recall the functional equation of Eisenstein series. Okay, so this, I mean, this is G. Okay, G. Okay, so now, since this has satisfied that functional equation, if you integrate over the uniform radical, you still satisfy functional equation. So you integrate, integrate over UF, UF over UA. So then we have the following functional equation, E S pi. So now let's just evaluate at identity. So this is minus S Yeah, that's right, yeah. Just take any non-trivial generic character. Okay. All right, so now with the global intertwining operator, you can write down as a local intertwining operator. Fs. Okay, Fv. So just take F to be the pure tensor. Okay, so now we proved I erased the formula. So what we proved? So left hand side is product of pi ri and product over S W F V E. And right hand side is product over S W A S pi V W naught S V identity times V naught in S W A S pi V W naught Fv naught E. Okay. But now recall the Kahn's phantom calculation. Recall that A S pi V W naught Fv naught for circle vector. We calculated that this is I equals 1 through M I S pi V R I 1 plus is pi v ri fv tilde 0. Here fv tilde is the unique kv fixed factor in the other intertwining operator. Okay, all right. Okay, so so what do we have? So that means that this thing, so Fv, this thing is this belongs to I minus S W naught pi V. Okay, so this thing is I equals 1 through M 1 minus is W naught pi V R I, and so this thing is just pi V R I tilde contra gradient. All right. Okay, so I'm almost done. Okay, hold on. Just give me a second. Okay, so this whole thing is given by this is just basically the product of I equals M L S I S pi ri so this whole thing is given by this Because if you combine these two facts, okay, you just combine these two facts, so you get that. Okay, so now you set equal here. So if you set equal, then what you get is, so I equals 1 through M, LS, IS, pi RI is equal to product over WFVE, WAS pi VW naught FVE, I equals 1 through M, LS, 1 minus IS, pi RI tilde. Because this denominator will cancel each other. So if that will cancel with that one. Okay. So we have that. And you can see that this is exactly the local coefficients. That's local coefficients. Okay, so this is crude functional equation, and by induction on I, what is the theorem? So if you use induction, then you can get it out each. So by induction on I, so that's what we are going to do next time. By induction on I, so we can see that. So you get some gamma I, RI, the LS 1 minus S pi RI tilde. So we get this kind of functional equation. Each satisfies this crude functional equation. And we are going to show that this is indeed a gamma factor. I mean, okay, I'm sorry. So multiply by 3. So this is exactly the gamma factor. Okay, so we'll define that using induction. And so next time what I'm going to do is we'll analyze these local coefficients. First for supercustodial representation, and then we basically show that this is a product of gamma factors. So our goal is to define the gamma factors, and then from there we get the local L factors.